Okay, in the interest of time, it's 12:03. I know we kind of just did a little bit of an introduction roundtable. Scott just went, but we have a new member, Lance Evans, yay. So we want to just do like a quick roundtable, name, what you're doing, where you are. You want to start?
Sure. Lance Evans, Morgan County Planning Director for just over a year now.
And, yeah. Great. We're glad to have you.
Awesome. Good.
Sean Wilkinson with Weber County Community and Economic Development.
I'm Mark Allen. I'm mayor of Washington Terrace City. It's in Weber County. And how long have I been doing that, Sean?
18 years.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We found out. Now he keeps reminding me.
It's a long time.
I endure.
Just got reelected.
Well, yeah. You're doing something right.
Just got reelected for that. 22. Oh, man. So, yeah. Good gig. Pretty good gig. Get to come down here and do this too sometimes. Yeah. It's awesome.
We're glad to have you as well.
I'm Jerry Houghton. I'm a Tooele County Recorder Surveyor and also represent this on the State Policy Board.
He's a great representative. Okay, and I'm Christy Dahlberg, the Community and Development.
Thanks for taking my place last time.
Yeah.
Administrator. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry
didn't,
about
didn't
that.
Didn't realize it would be that long. But hey, we had good lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, we had like ribeye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it was quite the meal.
Yeah. Boy, did we get chastised for not getting the right name tag.
Oh, well, I know.
Boy, she took that name tag, made a new one, and brought it down. Boy, she's too.
Sorry. Yeah, she's kind of that way.
Good for her.
Yeah. Okay. First on the agenda, that's not actually on the agenda, but we'll get it out of the way real quick, is just approving the minutes from last time. You want to make your last motion as chair?
Sure.
Sorry to call you out in the middle of a bite.
Want me to make the motion? You
please,
second
please
it
with
me?
Do.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Great. Okay. Now we can move on to the agenda. So welcome Lance Evans. We're glad to have you here. I thought this would be a good opportunity just kind of to review the bylaws and see if they need updating, and also just like a refresher on the purpose of the Regional Review Committee and the responsibilities that the Regional Review Committee has. So this is...
I'm going to leave about 15 minutes.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no worries. If you have anything you want to... You can go first or whatever if you want to say something. Okay. So the purpose of the Regional Review Committee is to provide a structured method for reviewing and rating and ranking CDBG applications. So every year we get applications from across the region, and we review those and we score those based on a criteria that this committee has also come up with and approved, which is another responsibility of the RRC. And then the RRC makes recommendations to HUD as to which projects should be funded that year. I did notice also that in the meeting sections it says that we meet every second Wednesday of every month at 11:30. That seems a bit outdated. I don't think.
I just come when you tell me.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. So when I was hosting my first meeting, I believe I did a doodle poll, and Tuesday worked better for everyone. And so if we are liking the schedule of Tuesdays every 3 months instead of every month, then
as needed.
Yeah, exactly. So then I'll go ahead and edit that, and we can improve that next meeting. And then also the members need to be updated. And then if you guys read over this and there's anything that stands out to you guys or that is missing, also you can let me know, and I can change that, and we can approve that next meeting.
Who manages this posting for our public meeting?
Katie. Okay, so Lance, do you have any kind of questions about what we do or what you'll be doing, what we'll be doing?
This is totally clear.
Okay, great.
I think I understand.
Perfect. Great. So we need to select a new chair. Sean's been a great one for us for 2 years. I think he's...
I haven't really done anything.
Two more years. So, it's up to you guys to select your chair. If you guys have any nominations.
Well, I'll nominate the mayor.
He's been here for 18 years. And
well, I haven't been here for 18 years. Do we?
Keep in mind, we have two members who aren't here right now to defend themselves, and that's Myron Bateman and John Harper.
But I'll nominate Jerry.
The only issue is my term's up in January.
Oh, okay.
And so, and then I probably won't be.
Oh, really?
On the board.
No. Okay. I mean, I'll keep my emotions out of it. Okay.
How long can you serve on this board? Because I know there is
a. There's no term limit, but each term is
appointed by the COG.
Oh.
But
oh, okay.
for the chair.
Right.
I think there is a term.
Oh, I thought that. Oh,
each
okay.
term is 2 years, but there's no term limit.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a limit. Okay. I'd love to stay on the board. As far as chairman, I've discussed with Sean. I've got so many different boards and groups that I meet and chairmanship of several, and I really... I'm sorry, I really don't have the time to put into it, but I am available on call for to do whatever I need to do.
Really
so, but if somebody would sure take that on, I would sure appreciate it. But I appreciate that, you know.
And I tried to make it as easy as possible, seamless, and have everything ready.
So who's the vice chair? Do we have a vice chair?
Not very much.
Okay.
Does Myron usually come, or does Myron and John?
Well, John does. Myron, I know that they've got a thing up in Idaho, and that's probably where John is, too.
Yeah.
They're up there this week.
John's actually a thing with his son. He's back east with his son. I talked to him last Thursday at the Grove Committee. Have to take a couple days and go back there. But.
And Myron's not running again, so his term will be up at the end of this year also. So.
Oh, wow.
I nominate John Barber.
John would be a great chairman if he... I don't know if that's...
yeah.
Good to do. But,
His term currently would be up in January, and at that point, you know, we could select a new chair.
Is he running again?
I'm not sure.
He is, but he's in a tough spot. So.
Okay.
He may not get elected now. We'll see.
There's no, as far as I know, there's no shackles binding you to being chair until your term expires. So if maybe we want to have him in the interim, and then if he's not elected, or if he's not, if he doesn't stay on, then we'll have to choose a new one, and if he does, then he can be here maybe to defend himself and see if we want to choose a new chair.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
Sounds good.
Okay. Do we need to make a motion, or?
Yeah. Can I have a motion to nominate John Barber?
No, I'm not doing that.
No.
I think, Sean, you made the motion.
Yeah, I'll make
it. Do we have a second?
Sure.
I'll second it.
All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
I mean, if he's completely against it, then we'll do something, but we'll ask him. Say he'll support you.
No, I'm looking for my friend.
He's going to say the same thing you're saying. Busy, you've got a lot going on, but he can do it for 6 months.
Okay.
7 months. Do we want to nominate a vice chair as well?
Well, the vice chair, what's it mean here? It's staggered terms. So is the vice chair and the chair staggered terms?
Terms
will be staggered. In our
They're all staggered just so that we have some consistency when we're getting new members.
Okay. So does he just stay until?
I guess.
Similar to January, so.
Is it?
Well, John might only be here till January as well, so that could be a good time to shift everything around.
You know, here though it says...
rating and ranking committee chair and vice chair will be nominated by committee members and approved by the council.
Wow.
So maybe we don't even, that's just our recommendation, I guess.
Is there significance to this meeting for why we're picking a chair? Because we just did with WFEDD, aligned it with all of the other chair and vice chair appointees, which happens the first meeting of the calendar year.
Yeah, so I think we just didn't have it on our agenda the last time.
Yeah, we were supposed to.
I guess the other option you have, and you've already made a motion, you could rescind it, but would be to keep the current chair and vice chair through the calendar year and to align it with other committees, mm-hmm. and then choose a new chair in the first meeting of the calendar year of 2019.
We were supposed to choose a new one on the first of 2018.
And it didn't happen.
So we're just
at this point. However you want to play it.
Well, and then in January when people's terms are up, and then we'll have the first meeting of 2019. We could do it then. Again. Okay. Okie dokie.
So are we going to have it approved by the council?
I'm wondering if that means the actual council or just like a staff member, me.
It says council.
It looks we'll like we'll ask for a regional council.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Andrew and Lanise.
Okay. We will have to ask, and if that's the case, council meeting's on Thursday.
Week, yeah.
It's on Thursday, so we can bring it up then.
Maybe I can ratify that.
Okay.
So are we nominating John, or are we keeping the same through the end of the year?
John's been nominated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, before we take it to the council, I hope somebody can get a hold of John first.
I'll let him know. I'll let him know and see how he feels about it.
If he can just take over for 6 months.
And yeah. See if that's okay with him.
He does a great job. He's reluctant to keep him on.
Yeah. Sure. He's been doing CDBG for a while, it sounds like. Okay. Where did my agenda go? Here it is. So, allocation methodology update. As you all know, we're stuck in the semi-MA split this year. We lost a lot of our funding in the smaller regions. So Lance, kind of background for you. For the last like 37 years, CDBG has been allocated out on a per capita population per capita basis through the seven AOGs. And then this last year, when the policy board was voting on the allocation methodology, instead of keeping it the same, some of the smaller AOGs wanted to change it up. They felt as though it wasn't necessarily representative of their need in their smaller regions. So they were trying to work out a different formula, and there was a lot of discussion back and forth. They didn't really reach a consensus, and then someone put out there, well, let's do a seven-way split. And then it kind of got seconded, and it got approved. Yes, and everyone was kind of shocked by it, and it just kind of happened. And then it was adopted under the condition that it would only be for 1 year. So we would spend 2018 coming up with a new allocation methodology for 2019. So over the last year, myself and the other AOG CDBG reps have been perfect timing. We're about to talk allocation.
Great. Hi, all.
Hi.
Nice to see you all.
Everyone knows Andrew Gruber.
I apologize for being late, and thanks for letting me join you guys.
No problem. So I'm just doing a little backup on the allocation methodology. So myself and the other AOGs have been meeting to come up with a allocation formula that represents needs. It's a needs-based formula instead of the seven-way split. So we've been meeting up. We've had about four working meetings, and then we as an RRC came up with a formula that we felt was representative of needs-based, and those were including criterion of percent of statewide LMI, percent of regional poverty, and number of pre-1980 housing in the region. And we set different weights to those criteria to determine how much each region would get. And we've been working back and forth with the other AOGs to get their input and their buy-in so that come voting time, we have a little bit more certainty of where the voting is going to go and hopefully have some resemblance of a consensus towards a better allocation method so we can get the money that our region really deserves. We have a lot of need in our region. Not saying that the others don't, but we do have the most of those criteria. And so in your packet, there is a handout, a one-sheeter. And also, Andrew, like I mentioned earlier, Andrew's here with us to kind of help talk strategy on how we can move forward with our proposal. Like I said, the staff members, we've talked and we've worked it out as much as we can at our level, and I think it's time to take it to a higher level, and that's where Andrew comes in. So he's going to be talking strategy with us. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, if I may. Thank you, Christy. Mm-hmm. I asked Christy if I could join you all at this. We think Christy's been doing a great job of working with the staff and coming up with substantive proposals that are needs-based for how to allocate revenues. But if I can speak just sort of directly about this, I don't think that what's really going on here is trying to come up with the best formula, okay? I think that what's going on here is a very understandable desire among the different areas of the state, to put it bluntly, to get as much money as they can from a zero-sum pot of money. And when Christy said, you know, she feels like she's gone as far as she can working with the staff on sort of negotiating formulas. To me, if we spend our time trying to negotiate a formula, we're not sort of focusing on what's really the big picture here. As you all saw last year, so for I don't know how long it's been, but for a long time, a decade, let's say, we've had a formula in place.
37 years.
37 years, and 37 years, and then a base was built in, and we can talk about that for a minute. But that has been essentially working. And then there was a desire that was put forward by the state and some of the other AOGs to change the approach in a way that would reduce the amount of money that comes to you and increase the amount of money that goes to others. And I'm being sort of, you know, intentionally blunt about this because I feel like we need to see it clearly, okay?
I completely agree with you from what I've observed.
And then there was no consensus reached about what that formula should be. And then the idea was, well, I'll tell you what, just let's punt on it and just split it seven ways. That's fair. And we'll revisit that. Well, that is decidedly not fair, in my view, because what splitting it seven ways means, and you all know this, is essentially taking like a third of the money out of our region and spreading it around to the other regions. It's not needs-based at all. All right. So I feel like where the discussion then has gone since that point is, what should the formula be? We've gone back to this formula conversation. And I want to submit a basic sort of strategy proposal to you for how to tackle this. I'll cut to the end. I'll say what I think that should be, and then come back and sort of walk to it a little bit, all right? I think the basic sort of bottom line for the WFRC region on this should be a hold harmless, I call it my words, a hold harmless, that at the very minimum that the WFRC area does not get any less than what we got under the 2017 approach. All right? In 2017, that was the last year that the formula that had been in place for a long time was operating. And we can talk about changing it, but we shouldn't get anything less than what we got in 2017. You could be willing to negotiate formulas that give away some money that we would otherwise be getting, because you all know that in 2018 the amount of money for CDBG has gone up, right, under the federal budget deal. It's amazing what you can do in the federal budget if you cut taxes, increase spending. It's great, right? It's happy times for everybody. But you could say, look, we would be getting more money, but we're willing to be generous to our other areas, but we should at least be held harmless with what we got in 2017. So to me, that's sort of the bottom line.
Okay, and what was that amount?
So take a look at the sheet.
Okay,
so let's start. This sheet that Christy put together, and we talked through this. On the left side, it's showing each of the AOGs in the state. WFRC is at the bottom. And the second column there is the actual 2017 allocations. So, Mayor, you see at the bottom, $4.6 million. That was the total that was distributed to the AOGs. That column, and $1,080,000 to use, okay? That column was based on this formula that has been in place for 37 years, okay? Now, you all know that that formula over time was modified to provide a base amount of funding. So in other words, before the money gets split, every AOG gets a base of $300,000. Now, why? The reason for that is because if we just distributed all the money by the regular formula without a base, WFRC would get significantly more. So the base provides something for the smaller AOGs. So we would be getting more money if that base wasn't already in there. So if you look at this 2017 HUD needs base, that third column there, this is a way sort of to demonstrate how much money we're giving away by the base, okay? This is, if you just took, forget about negotiating around formulas. If you just took, like, here's how HUD, the HUD formula, if there was no base, WFRC would be getting $1.3 million. So by operation of the way the formula is set up with the base, we are essentially distributing to other areas of the state $241,000 already. So this is where I get so frustrated. I'm just being honest with this conversation, because folks are saying, oh, well, the more rural areas, you know, they need more help. They don't have as many resources to go to. And then I think, well, first of all, what do you think Tooele County is? Tooele County is not Salt Lake County, right? So, like, when you talk about rural, sometimes the other AOGs, they look at us and they think, oh, Salt Lake City. Not for this. That's not what this is. This is the non-urbanized areas, right? So point number one. Point number two, we already have a structure in place where we're helping the smaller AOGs. That's what the base is designed to do already. So when we go into this conversation, I just feel like everybody has to understand that, A, our area that's getting money out of this is non-urbanized already, one, and two, we're already giving money away through that, and we're fine. We've never complained about that, right? So now you go into a situation, so 2018, you see at the bottom it says 5255. That's the amount of money that our state is getting to distribute to the AOGs, right? It goes up from 4.6. That's the 2018 budget deal. If we were to distribute that money based on the old 2017 formula with the base, we'd get $1.2 million, or an add of $153,000. So if you did it by needs base with no base, we'd get $1.3 million. If you split the 2018 money based on, you know, based on the old formula, we'd get $1.2 million. So, and everybody gains when you go up to $5.2 million, all right? Now, we put a proposal together, a substantive, and Christy, in talking with you and, you know, negotiating with everybody, put a needs-based proposal together. That's that 2018 WFRC proposal. And you see that would get us $1.24 million. That's a reasonable proposal. But I think that we could be magnanimous to the other regions of the state and say, look, here's a needs-based proposal. We'll get us $1.2 million with a base of $400,000. We could allocate the money based just on the HUD formula, and we'd get more money. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. But keep in mind, again, that everybody is looking at the bottom line number. What's the right way to do it? Everybody's jiggering formulas. Put this factor in there, or just this, or just the weighting. Everybody's looking at their bottom line number. So let's be realistic, right? I don't think that we need to go in and demand that we get $1.2 million or whatever. And so you could be, in your discussions with the other AOGs and with the policy board, mm-hmm. You guys could say, we recognize the challenges your regions face. We have the most low and moderate income households in the state, in our area, but we understand the challenges you face, and we are willing to work with you. We have always been willing to work with you. That's what the formula was. That's what the base was. We've always been willing to do that, and we're willing to do even more. But you can't come in and strike us down below where we were in 2017, particularly when there's more money coming in. So I feel like have a negotiation about what the formulas are. It's almost like who cares? I mean, we care, okay? But like, who cares? But if your bottom, I feel like the bottom line should be a hold harmless for WFRC against that 2017 number of 1,080,000. And I would also submit to you that given that we're going up from 17 to 18, that extra, you know,
$600,000,
every AOG in the state should be at least held harmless in whatever formula is created. WFRC should, and, you know, whoever the other losers might be from other formulas. We have finally gotten in the 18 budget deal, and it's supposed to continue into 19, extra money coming in that allows us to make modifications. So fine, let's do that. And we're willing to give, maybe you won't agree with this, right? Maybe you say, why should we be willing to give up our increase if everybody else is gonna get an increase? And maybe, you know, but if you wanna be magnanimous, say we're willing to do that, we're willing to look at formulas, but WFRC should be held harmless, and you could even say every AOG in the state should be held harmless from the 2017 numbers. We look at 2018. To me, that is just an eminently reasonable thing to do, given that you are already exporting money, essentially, to the other areas of the state. If you took that approach, I feel like it would probably take some kind of contacts to other AOGs around the state prior to that policy committee. But say, look, let's let all the folks work on formulas, but let's agree on a basic principle that when we do 18, every AOG in the state is at least held harmless with the 2017 numbers. No formula will be accepted that doesn't meet that basic principle. And then do whatever needs-based stuff or base that you want, but at least get agreement on that point. So I know I've been talking for a long time. I apologize, but that's our sort of strategic suggestion at this point.
It gets us $250,000 more than what we were than what we were getting from the seven-way split.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So now.
Yes.
So. I agree with you. I agree with your yeah. whole analysis of it. I think even at some points you were a little soft.
Because, try to be careful, politically correct, you know.
I know. I like that we're getting more money because that was one. Cheryl Brown, who works on the state, mm-hmm. had gone out and talked to some of these other AOGs. As he said, what was happening is the vote was split 3-4. That's because they came up with a way that 4 were increasing and 3 were losing. So there was 3 that ended up losing. They were just redistributing the money. And I also think what she was doing was setting up for later on, because she was predicting the amounts we were going to get were going to go down, and if they went down to a certain level, she brings this proposal up every time. She wants the state to have control of all of it. And what she's doing is using the sales pitch that we would allow each AOG even a lower level of money, and then we'd have this pot, like for a $1 million project, where you guys were, we're set up that our maximum is what?
250,000.
Yeah. And so somebody could come in with a big project to get big projects done, and the state could help them out. So,
by the way, on that point, this notion that Cheryl has brought forward of let's split it and the AOGs will get some money and the state will control some money so bigger projects can be applied mm-hmm. for. I talked about that with the AOG executive directors, and everyone was of the same opinion that that was not a good approach. And the main reason that people said no, well, two reasons. One, the local governments want to be able to control how this money is used. They don't want to have to go apply to the state. Two, certainty matters. If you know that there's a certain amount of money and you can count on it year after year after year, you may apply for something, you may not get it this year, but you know you can come next year. If the majority of the money or a big chunk of the money is with the state, how can you plan for something? That, you know, you can apply, maybe you get it, maybe you don't, maybe you wait 7 years, maybe, you know.
Right.
So certainty is really important.
So, sounds like we all are in agreement. That's the strategy that we want to take. What are all of your suggestions on how I should move forward with this? And the AOG, other AOGs?
Christy, I don't think, I don't think that the next step on this is you are moving forward.
Okay.
I would submit to you that the next step on this is contacts with the policy committee members and you know, a frank conversation, you know, one-to-one with whoever's best to do that with each of them, and say, look, we can negotiate about these formulas till the cows come home. That's right, that's a rural reference. Sorry, like that. Okay.
Plays Weaver County.
Thank you very much. Yeah, right. Well, we can negotiate on this indefinitely, and there's a million fair ways to do a formula, but we've got to have some parameters around this. We're getting more money in 2018 than we expected. So let's have a basic agreement among all the regions that we at least have a hold harmless, that nobody goes below the 2017 amount. We've got another $600,000+. Let's do formulas. If WFRC doesn't get any more than 2017, okay, we're willing to be generous in that way. But let's reach agreement on that. And if those parameters can be set and agreed to, then that provides direction to the staff to work through, you know, formulas within those guidelines. So I don't know, you know, and I'm happy to talk to people, but I feel like this is, you know, RRC to RRC, policy committee to policy committee member, and reach kind of that fundamental understanding, which is fair to everyone.
Jerry, are you comfortable doing that as our policy committee member?
Well, I'm going to need some help from other commissioners, okay, because I'm the only recorder that's ever been on the policy board. Yeah, but I do have a good relationship with Jerry Taylor, and he's what, five counties. And then also with Box Elder County Commissioner, I always forget his name.
Is that
Jeff Scott?
Oh, Jeff Scott.
Yeah. And I've talked to both of them, and they've both been in agreement with what we were doing. Where we lost on the first time, we thought I'd had my commissioners reach out to Commissioner Burdine from Deschene County. And we thought that he was in agreement, and then he went to his other commissioners and his council of governments out there, and they said no. And they were gonna gain like 40,000-50,000, and so they felt like they couldn't say no to gaining. And so it depends on relationships that other, there's a new one, the mayor from Huntington changed. It was, there's a new gentleman on there, and I don't know if you would have better contact with him through that. He seemed he's new, and he seemed to be pretty receptive when we were in St. George to go, and so I think that he could be. The councilman from Wasatch is very outspoken and wants, when he's with Mountainland. Yeah, and he's very outspoken and wants more money. And this way, he's got more money. And then Gary Zabriskie's not, but he still comes
yeah.
to the meeting.
He's still
in the back
very involved for not being
and poking
involved.
But his. If somebody had somebody down there, and they're what, southeastern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. You know what? As you're talking through this, each of the individuals, which I think is the right way to look at it, you're sort of like doing that relationship mapping, like who's the policy committee and who from here could contact them. What we could do, if you want, is we could put together a little chart. Here's who the policy committees are, and then sort of slot, make suggestions. You could like sign up for who to contact. And then we could also list out the executive directors for the AOGs. And I'm happy to have a conversation with the AOG directors also to sort of reinforce this principle, because I'm kind of inclined to, like, for MAG, I kind of like to call Andrew Jackson, who's my counterpart there, mm-hmm. and say, hey, somebody is calling your policy committee person, and here's what's going on, you know, to reinforce that. And then sort of last thing is, what we could also do is maybe write up a few talking points, so we're all sort of on the same message, and maybe just like four or five bullets of like the basic point, and then we'd all kind of have the basic messaging down. Does that? I don't want to over manage this, but does that make sense as an approach?
I think that's a great idea, and I'll put that together.
Great sense.
Okay.
I'll put that together, and when I send that out to you, if you feel like I've left anyone off the chart that needs to be added, feel free to add, and also fill your name in on people that you can talk to.
No, we only have until the 28th of June, right, to do this.
Yeah.
Now, 29th, but yeah.
28th. So in that meeting that we attended just recently, were they going to have another, like, work meeting with that group? You know, the one guy had the thing where you could plug in any numbers you wanted. He had the big formula on the computer.
And I have that pulled up if we want to take a look at it.
And Sandra, all you're doing there is looking at numbers, you know, and why, you know, and I agree with you 100%, Andrew, because just looking at numbers, but we've all looked at this and said, well, here's the HUD needs based.
Right.
Here's what this program is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's not all these percentages of this and this and this and this and this to make these numbers go like this.
Uh-huh.
It's HUD based. You know, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, back to the basics, and that's what we were trying to kind of prove them, but they all wanted to go off on these little 15% of this and 30% of this mm-hmm. and 35% of this, and mm-hmm. just to make this all work out, to make it.
That's why I think it's important to show, like, hey, if we just did it based on the purpose of what CDBG is, we would be getting way more money, and mm-hmm. we are already compromising uh-huh. with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. I mean, I was thinking along those lines. Do we have it per capita, per need, per LMI?
Uh-huh.
Here's how the allocation is, and not make it dollars. It's percent, or some sort of get away from the number, and each of our I don't know the numbers well enough, but you know, this is our poverty rate, and we're getting this.
Yeah, we do have that.
This is the percent we're getting for.
Yeah, and that's kind of why
capita.
That's why mm-hmm. we put this HUD needs-based column, because it sort of it captures
all.
It's like if you think about, like Christy said, the purpose of the program, which is all those things you're saying, mm-hmm. and that's all you did. Then here's how we'd be getting
that's
more
it.
Money,
yeah.
you know, based on those yeah. factors. Mm-hmm. So.
And I do, yeah. And it's worth a conversation with those other AOGs and those people. I've heard just discussion, you know, of people. Really are just trying to get the most money they possibly can. I've heard suggestions of, well, we should consider how much money each region gets from CIB, but it's we're not talking about CIB. We're talking about CDBG.
You can have a negotiation and you can look at any formulas you want to come up with. There's a rationale for every approach, and it'll just going to turn out that the ones that people like are the ones that. You know, benefit them, and so it's just let's just be realistic about it.
Yeah,
you know, and the staffs can negotiate as much as they want around the details of the formulas, as long as there's a sort of basic bottom line agreement that there's a hold harmless in 18, and let's take advantage of the fact that we're growing the program by 600 and some thousand dollars. Use that as an opportunity to relook, but nobody should be getting less than what they thought they got in 2017. So,
okay.
So we'll put together. A contact chart and then a few bullet points.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be
yes.
great.
Okay. And then this we can include in the
maybe.
Should we
yeah.
The
let's
email?
let we can go back and think about it, because what I worry about is as these conversations go forward, like I'm thinking about talking to the AOGs even, and I don't want to like accidentally drag down into all of the details. You know what I mean? I mean there has to be, like I feel like that's that's the path that we just get into negotiating formulas. Like, I want to keep it at a more strategic, basic agreement level. And then we can go into all of the details. So even though I feel like this is helpful for us to think about it, I don't even know whether we want to be
right.
going all over numbers. Let's see, right?
Yeah, it might be better
might
with like an explanation.
Yeah.
But if we can,
okay.
And it seems like that we can maybe throw out there that if we get so far away from this HUD needs base, the federal government may look at us and say,
we're
getting too nitpicky.
Right.
You know, maybe not, because maybe CDBG is just a little tiny thing in that $1 trillion budget or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will ever notice. But, you know, they might. They might say, what are they doing?
Right.
You know, this is, and I don't think anybody in Washington, D.C. is that smart to really look at that and decide that, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, they are coming.
But they could. I mean, somebody could say, you guys are just manipulating this to all the heck. And so just get back to the basics.
I know I came in late, and I know I have to run. I am supposed to do a presentation somewhere in 16 minutes. So,
all right.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much. And we'll stay in touch and then work with, we want to support you guys as much as we can in moving forward. And so that you can get to the business, the real business, which is identifying, prioritizing projects in your areas that need help. That's the point, right?
Good. So. I love you, Ty.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
You. Okay. Thanks, all. See you later.
See you. Deep run, that's okay.
Oh, sorry. What
one
was
of the things that he didn't touch on, though, is there is some discrepancy in there, because each area has their own priorities, and so somebody might say, we need housing here, we need infrastructure over here, or we need help with something else over here. And so there was actually a push on some of our stuff as we go through here. They were starting to look at the projects that we approved versus the projects that somebody else approved, and they're even drawing comparisons. Well, yours aren't as good as our projects because you're spending money here, here, and here, and we think you should be spending it over here. Well, that's your priority over there, but that's not our priority that helps us here. So, I think we're on the right track. I think saying, you know, listen, we at least want to get everybody gets the same, and then we can talk about the rest. And even if we have to be nice 1 or 2 years, you know, and say, okay, we'll let you guys have a little bit of a boom because of the additional money, but
right.
we need to, and I think that's the only way we're going to get out of it.
Okay. Right.
I'm all right with that.
And I think your point was good too. Like, even if they're not scrutinizing CDBG all the time, I know they are looking at us right now because they came to the state this last year and they said, wait a minute, you're allocating out CDBG money to the AOGs to distribute throughout the state? We never said you could do that. That's not in what HUD says that they could do. And the state comes back and says, well, we had this contract from HUD. It's 37 years old, and it says that, and HUD said that we could allocate out through the AOGs, and so they're kind of looking into Utah right now and seeing what we're doing. So consistency with the HUD formulas and things like that could only work in our favor.
We need to say consistency with the HUD formulas. Let's put that top of the list on those bullet points. So.
Right.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, I remember them discussing that in that meeting.
So it's the purpose of it. It's just the purpose of the
right.
And who cares what's going on with other stuff? This is for this.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
It seems like it would be pretty straightforward, but when money is involved. All right, so as Andrew mentioned just now, the federal budget was signed and CDBG got more money. So this next one is just like an update of the projects that were applied for and our funding and the projects that are being awarded to keep you updated. So we were only awarding Wendover's second project a fraction of their ask, and now we are awarding them a little bit more of what they asked for. So that's good. That's just where we are on our projects. Do you know if Washington Terrace has had their second public hearing? I haven't seen
it. If we were required to, we have had.
Yeah, I know Amy
you know
posted
Amy,
it.
Yes.
I know she posted it. I wasn't sure if it happened yet. So,
okay.
But yeah, both of those all three of the projects are moving right along, and so that's where we are as far as our projects. The next steps. So they should be hosting their second public hearing and doing their environmental reviews and things like that, and then the fun paperwork gets to start.
We have done that because I have to read the paragraph.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Exactly like you request.
Amy's great at it. I don't hardly have to check what she does.
I think it was a month or two ago.
Sorry, excuse me. Okay, we don't have a super lot of time left, but in the last minutes, I wanted to bring to your attention the rating and ranking criteria. As we talked about earlier, it's the RRC's responsibility to create and approve a rating and ranking criteria.
Need to update here.
Oh, yeah. That does need to be updated. In going through the scoring of the applications, it seemed that there were some things that maybe could use some updating, and I took some notes on that. But then I also wanted to, you know, talk with you guys and see if anything stuck out to you as far as being outdated or left out or, you know, favoring any type of project over another type of project, because that's not really what our aim is. We just want to benefit the most people. So one thing that we kind of ran into this last year was the fact that Wendover was in the top rated ranked projects and got funded twice. And I know we briefly discussed, you know, like, well, as the RRC, do we want one entity to be awarded two projects in the same year? Do we want to spread out the award? Do we want to burden one entity burden? I'm sure they love it, but, you know, with having two projects going on at once, and we talked about maybe revisiting this and updating it. So what do you guys think? How do you guys feel about one entity being awarded two projects in the same year?
Well, it's hard enough to make sure that one project is, you know, having a public hearing, doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really difficult. And that's what we heard at that meeting,
mm-hmm.
is that it's so difficult that some people won't even apply for it. Or I've heard that from, I've heard that from Amy when she goes to the how-to meetings.
Right.
Some people are like, oh, it's too hard to even do. We're not. So I can't imagine, you know, one being able to control two of them at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm sure if you have the people, I mean, I guess you could do it.
Right.
Other than that, I don't know. I'm not.
And also in the spirit of quote unquote fairness, our rating ranking criteria is set up a little bit to try and spread out the wealth. We have a criteria, I guess, if you will, that you get more points the further back it has been since you've been funded,
right,
and you get,
right,
like, you don't get any points if you were funded last year, you know, so.
Well, each entity also has to rank their projects,
yes,
and so they get points depending on where they are, mm-hmm, on the list.
Right.
That's why,
right,
we always put you last.
Oh, man.
I don't know, I guess I'm not opposed to one entity getting more than one, but maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. That, I mean, you're too well. What is
West Wendover?
Yeah.
They really need it.
They do really need it.
Yeah, that's true. And so if they.
Some of these other cities may not have those same needs.
I don't know.
We could always put it in on a consideration basis. It can be up to the RRC. You know, we don't typically do it, but on consideration from the RRC, we can do it in certain situations. I'm just throwing out ideas.
How often has it happened?
I don't know. I can't. I'm sorry. I would have to look into that, and I can look into that, but I don't.
I guess if we're allowing cities to submit multiple projects and just ranking them,
right?
The assumption is out there that they could conceivably get two projects approved.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I don't think any of our, the STP, CMAC, and TAP don't limit that.
Yeah.
But typically it's just competitive enough that it doesn't end up doing
correct. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to get, you know, number one and number three in points, I mean, geez, like you said, you probably deserve it.
Right.
You probably really need it because it's hard to get those points to add up. So
we feel it's okay to have that. Okay.
For right now?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we play it by ear. And I mean, if it happens on a regular basis, mm-hmm. we might want to start looking at that. If Wendover's getting the bulk of the funds every year, I don't know.
But mm-hmm. next year they'll be down certain points already with the criteria that we have, right?
Yeah, right. But it seems like they get funded every single
They have been getting almost a project every year.
Yeah.
They have the benefit of being a HUD pre-approved community, which right. means that as
which
an
gives them more points on
right,
that.
The most.
But it usually offsets the ones that they take hits on, too. So.
Right, so they're a pre-approved community, which means that
that's
HUD has determined at least 51% of the entire community is low to moderate income, which is a pretty big deal. And if you guys are curious, our region has four pre-approved communities, and those are Wendover, I think Washington Terrace made the list, Vernon Town, and Uinta.
Uinta?
Uinta City.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's surprising.
Not Uinta County,
Uinta City.
Yeah.
Well, Uinta is lower Uinta. It's not, you know, it only goes so far up the hill.
Right.
It's not like upper Uinta.
But still, even in that lower area, those, I mean, it seems pretty nice. I don't know.
That's interesting.
They got a huge shrink across down there.
Oh,
bottom.
Okay.
Actually,
are those surveys based on every time the census? Those are updated as the census comes out.
Yeah.
So it's so every 10 years that they get adjusted.
Those could be updated. It could be updated that way. And then also, if they've applied for a project and they did a survey, a community-wide survey, and it came back, then.
Yeah, there's not. Above Highway 89, I don't know if there's.
There's a little bit, just a little bit of the town that comes up there.
What did it look like in 2010?
What's that?
What did Uinta look like in 2010, though?
Because
I think it's probably based on
the
census.
Same. I don't know, probably about the same. Uinta's pretty much an island.
We should have dated the census numbers.
Okay, and then the other thing just that's real kind of in the forefront of my mind is the number 7, which is the regional quality planning. All applicants must provide their designation as a quality growth community or information detailing how they meet each of the 4 planning goals. I believe quality growth community was an award that Envision Utah used to give out, and they no longer do that anymore.
Oh.
And as far as I know, Marriott Slaterville is the only one of two communities in our region who has that, and so they get an automatic 4-point advantage on every applicant every year. So maybe that's something we want to strike.
If no one else can gain that,
right? It seems like an unfair advantage. Yeah.
You know, maybe there's some other something with Wasatch Choice 2050 with the new vision or centers map. Maybe there's another criteria we could use that are projects located within centers or that aid center development, but we need to make sure that that includes Tooele centers, Morgan centers, because that would pull outside Salt Lake City or out of it altogether.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that, but it also, like, because it's not like necessarily economic development, it's capital improvement, you know, like if it's like a road improvement, it wouldn't meet a center.
Really flush toilets and
So I have been keeping my eyes peeled for something else we could put in there, because we want to reward people who are doing good things.
But you can't keep that in there. There's no way you keep that in there.
Right.
And it's benefited Marriott Slaterville in the past when they, you know, they've gotten their fair share of projects there
mm-hmm.
for a while. But I agree with you, Scott. We got to look at something else that is up and coming or something. But you got to be real careful with that.
Or we should see what these 4 planning goals were. Maybe Envision, I could find what their goals were. Because maybe those are still attainable.
Yeah, it sounds like it was probably something popular at that time that was moving with the HUD grant, and then with Wasatch Choice 2040. I think that was about 10 years old, this thing is.
Oh, wow, that's pretty old.
Maybe if we find something new, maybe we could say, or previous quality growth communities,
right.
put them back in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Say, hey, you had it 10 years ago, the going thing, and
right.
hopefully you're still using that and doing good on that. So
well,
they will put that back in there because now there's other communities that can do something else now.
So is the housing, there's an affordable housing plan.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's required. You're not eligible to apply.
Yeah, but they haven't done it for 10 years. They're not doing good community planning. They're not updating their
housing plans annually.
I thought they used to do it biannually, and I think the new bill, they just passed it, and now it's going to be annual.
So that
apparently some type of plans.
So apparently they kept up on it.
And you have to post it on
the last two or three years.
That could be something in here is utilizing the housing plans.
But I don't know.
Is that somebody else is already...
And just because you attain that...
I did a great plan in 2000. I get points for it 20 years later.
I don't know. But if they don't even give it out anymore, then...
Housing infrastructure, community planning...
What number are you looking at?
Seven still.
Oh, okay.
So just be a wait. So the state moderate income housing plans are reviewed. They were biannually, but I think they're annually now or going to be reviewed annually. There's state legislature... State legislative changes to make those a little bit more robust. So maybe that's a way, if the state's already reviewing all of the communities, the 267 plus jurisdictions, and then you just plug points in based on where you rank on that list, and that might encourage cities to update their moderate income housing plans to be current or up to date with state standards, but it just depends on if there's a one-to-one tracking of like their review and our points that you might give them. But
But isn't that based on size of city, though, too?
Not really.
No, I thought I received a letter that said, well, we're exempt from that.
Oh,
we don't have
true.
To do that.
Under a certain maybe. Size, huh?
Oh, that is
at
true.
At that point, maybe you do get automatic points. I don't know.
Okay.
Because you can't compete, so...
Yeah, but right. You don't automatically get points just because you... Just because
so
you
maybe
can't
if you
compete.
Have a plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was under 10,000 or
yeah,
something
right.
like that. See, we're 9.4.
Or length of time since your last plan update.
You could use age of general plan. There's a number of things, quality growth planning. You could probably create a proxy for this in a number of ways.
So I'll come up with a list of different things, and then when we meet next, we can just go over the list. So those were the main things that really stuck out in my mind, as my memory serves from going over the rating and ranking, the scoring of the projects. Not to say that that is all of them, but I think that could be a lengthier discussion and maybe a good starting point for our next meeting, which is in August. I believe the 21st of August. Let me double check that before I...
Can I just say on this one, the local planning?
Yeah.
High, medium, high.
what number are you talking about? Sorry.
Number 8.
I know.
This is really a personal pet peeve. It's either high or medium.
Yeah.
Or, and you can't have 4 highs.
Yeah. I know.
You can't have priorities or all high. You need to have some breaking. Like I said, it's a silly little thing, but
yeah,
I can tell stories.
High one, high two, high three.
And we should probably workshop that because it's kind of open to interpretation if there's no definition. Because in my mind, I thought that I took that as it's either high number 4 or it's medium number 4.
I read it. I have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys know.
I agree that. We should know what things mean.
Yeah.
I like that.
Lance, you ought to look over this closely and jot some stuff down. Because we look at it every year. We say
that's true. That's
we kind of concentrate on certain ones. We cross over. We
right, because some of them are already scored for us, and there's only a few at the end of it.
Yeah, so.
There's well, actually,
I mean,
now that we're...
Maybe look over that, and if you see it, put a big question mark by that and say, this looks silly. Bring it to our attention.
Yeah.
You know, that is kind of silly looking to me. But.
Another thing is I was going through this, one thing that just you reminded me of. Number one, there was an instance where, so it says the max score that you can get is 5 points, but you can select up to 4 of these criteria. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you have to not pick one, but there's instances where a community met all 5. And I wasn't sure if it was purposely left as a max score of 5, or...
I thought that the project manager consistency was that you had a good experience with that project manager before. So if you're a first-time grantee, you can't get that first point?
That these points are determined by the state. Cheryl ranks those.
Okay, that was what my understanding was. But
yeah, so that'd be a good. That would be a good thing to talk with Cheryl about, and then bring back to you guys. It doesn't seem like a community should be punished for never having been granted a CDBG project before.
No, they get points. They get 2.5 points for that. But
oh, I see.
You can't simultaneously get 2.5 points for being a first timer and 1 point for project consistency, because you can't have had project consistency unless you've been an applicant before. That's based on the experience year over year of utilizing that person as a project manager. So you're either assuming they're going to be good, or you leave that point off, and then they can get 2.5 plus, you know, 2, 4.5 or something compliance with regulation and laws, or I don't know. That was way I would read that. Maybe Cheryl reads it differently.
Well, they're going to get 2.5 automatically.
Yeah.
First time grantees are going to start out with 2.5 points.
Mm-hmm. I guess Cheryl brought that to my attention because, like I said, the state reviews that first section, because she's the one who works with the project manager consistency and the documentation and stuff like that. So she was actually the one who was wondering if that was a mistake. And I guess that stems from her, you know, managing other programs. So she's worked with other project managers on other programs and knows that they're good. Okay.
Isn't that the same as number 6, maturity of project? Project manager is dedicated, involved, and attended the application workshop? Anyway.
Yeah. Number 6 could use some work sharpening too. No, that's good. Good stuff. So, yeah. Next time, if we can just read through this, like breeze through it before the meeting, and I'll send it out again beforehand, and then we can start getting that shaped up. Because we need to have the new one approved by August. September. And I'm just checking when our next meeting is, and then
I got we have it on there, August 21st.
Oh yeah. Wow. So I almost never guess it right.
You sent it out for the whole year, so.
Perfect.
Okay.
Any other business, anybody?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks for joining our group, Lance. Sorry if you drew the short straw.
I didn't even know I was drawing.
I didn't either.
Perfect.
I didn't either. I didn't get to draw.
John got payback today.
Okay. So I will come up with that chart and bullet points.
Okay.
And then a list for next time for us to talk about. And I'll be sending that out to you guys.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Great.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.